You are now rocking with the best. This is the Educated Guest Podcast, where we interview movers and shakers in the world of education. Today's guest is Marcus Strother from the great state of Illinois. He's a powerful, passionate educator currently in Sacramento, California, working with the Men's and Women's Leadership Academy. He has served our youth in so many different capacities. You just have to listen to the podcast to soak it all up. I first met Marcus at the Boost Conference this past year. He made an immediate impact on me. His love, his passion for the craft is 100% authentic and organic, simply cannot be considered fraudulent. Listen to the man's words of power, how he tries to transform education for the betterment of our babies. I present to you Marcus Strother, episode 25.
Yeah.
I think that's a good song to hop into.
I like it.
We haven't done this one yet, so I think it's appropriate.
You know what it makes me feel like?
What's that?
It feels like that like ending scene after they robbed the bank and dead presidents and they were sitting at the table counting the money.
Okay. I like that.
And just like that, we are coming in hot in the 17. This is episode 25. We got our guest in the house today, Marcus Lee Strother. From the great state of Illinois, yes? You laughing at me because I looked up your middle name, son?
Yeah, I'm like, he went straight government.
He did. Made me nervous. He goes, hey, we need to do some research on Marcus. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know we want to have him on the podcast thing. No.
And it's because you do so much that I can't pinpoint what it is you're doing now and what you've done before in education. So
we'll get into that.
That's why I feel like I had to look him up, right?
Everybody knows pictures on the internet are forever.
And that other voice that you may not remember is from episode
two.
Episode two. Terry Gonzalez with the After School Depot. Did I get it right?
That's correct.
That is correct.
And support after school.
Little Mr. T on the T-shirt.
Yep. Mm-hmm. World famous, mm-hmm. always imitated, never duplicated, Terry mm-hmm. Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. Love it. So coming straight from Albuquerque.
So let's start with the disclaimer, right?
Shoot.
The opinions contained herein belong to all of us, myself, Rodrigo, and our guests, and in no way, shape, or form do they reflect those of our employers or any of the associations that we work for. Having said that, Rodrigo.
Let's talk some shit.
I
love it. Let's do this. All right. Thank you so much, Marcus, for coming out, man. For real. This is dope. I'm so excited that you're here. Terry, thank you for coming out as well. Let's just jump right in it, man. I mean, Marcus, you're coming off of a huge week, man. It's a Wednesday. But yesterday you guys had a pretty awesome event with my Men's Leadership Academy.
Yeah.
So shoot, tell me how it went. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, it was amazing. So we had our 6th annual Boys and Men of Color Summit, which started back in April when we took the young people to Washington D.C. Partnered with Howard University. They gave us a classroom to be able to start planning for the Boys and Men of Color Summit, which was great. We had just over about 160 young people in the space. Keynote speaker was Carmen Perez, which was great. We also had Eric Armstead from the 49ers there as well. Yes, definitely shout out to my sister warrior who is leaving tomorrow for London to do some global speaking. So that'll be great. Eric was great from the 49ers, you know, and the young people, which was the most amazing part of it was this was the first time that all of the presentations were youth led.
Oh, right on.
So other than the keynote speakers, all of the actual workshops were led by the young people. And of course, you know, I've only been here for 2 years. So for everybody that's been a part of it for 4 years before me said that they could see the young people were much more engaged. They wanted to hear what people, you know, what the kids were saying.
No shit.
Right. So that was great. You know, and a special piece for me is my two sons are a part of it as well. So they did their first presentations yesterday, too.
Oh, no
yeah.
way.
One on Know Your Rights and the other one on things we don't learn about our culture in schools.
And just to switch it back, because we went over it really fast. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Men's Leadership Academy. Can you just give us a little bit of background on what that is and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So in Sacramento City Unified School District, we have the Men's and Women's Leadership Academy. It is an A through G high school course, but we do have it as an after school program as well, 4th through 12th grade. So it's an amazing piece. And when I came here, we had about three programs going. We are now up to, as of today, 21.
Oh, really?
We should be adding on three more WLA, Women's Leadership Academy programs. We have three of them in the school day where they are actually getting high school credit and college credit. Our goal is to be able to push that for all of our programs. And then eventually they'll go into some culturally relevant leadership courses in the after school space. So it's great, you know, with MLA and WLA right now, we're at about 370 students that are involved and just only growing. So we're excited about that.
And it's all curriculum you wrote, right? It's all
curriculum
you wrote. And
yeah.
And you said A through G approved, huh?
A through G approved. Dang. You know, it was exciting to be able to write that, you know, with the MLA piece. That was great. Is she hungry? Let her eat. Everything was great with that piece in terms of MLA. And then WLA, you know, really dove in. And I will say using a lot of different music to be able to help that, infused a little bit of, you know, Beyonce, a little bit of Solange, a little bit of Nina Simone, you know, just bringing in some different elements from the music field to be able to help build that curriculum. And first time submitted, first time approved.
No, no way.
Yeah. Excited about that.
That's dope, dude. That's dope. So, so you mentioned a couple times before you, when you got to California. So you're not from California. You are from the beautiful state of Illinois.
I am from the beautiful state of Illinois.
So tell me a little bit about that transition, man. Cause I imagine that must have been.
We want to know.
Yeah. You know, that must have been pretty shocking to go from those winters to the California sun.
Right. So from a great metropolitan known as Kankakee, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that place.
Kankakee? Oh,
you remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kankakee, never, y'all not going to come at my city like that. So, yeah, Kankakee, we are about, you know, 45 minutes to an hour from downtown Chicago. Great spot, man. They nurtured me in so many ways to be in a great place in education. I was able to spend 17 years back there. Actually working 9 years at my high school where I graduated from. But, you know, people ask all the time, why California? It's California, to be completely honest. Like, it's cold.
And Chicago, it gets old real quick.
But like, how did the opportunity present itself?
Sure. So the opportunity presented itself. One of the things that I am a part of, very proud of, is the Freedom Writers. Erin Gruwell. And all the great work that she has done. I'm sure many people have seen the movie Freedom Writers. Mm-hmm. And from that, I met many great teachers out here in California who are Freedom Writer teachers. And initially was recruited to come out to work at Sac High and be the principal over at Sac High. Some things that came from that, some other friends at CDE presented some opportunities with my now boss, Stacy Bell. Which was the coordinator of youth development, and ended up going after both jobs and selected the youth development piece, which was great. You know, gets me into a place where I get to be with, you know, all of the young ladies and young men that we have involved in the district, and be able to be a part of a bigger crowd. And, you know, from there, you know, jumped on the, got the job like July 21st and was moved to California August 10th.
That's awesome. Wow.
Shout out to your kids and your wife. Right?
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Making that move. Like, hey, let's just all bounce real quick.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Let's go west.
Man, I have an amazing wife, you know, who from day one has always been that support, you know, and we celebrated 14 years yesterday on Halloween. And
Congratulations. Just
love her and love the young people that we've been able to raise and try to make them to be the change agents that we want them to be.
How old are your boys?
Boys are 12.
That's dope. Man, so what do you, I mean, because you also do speaking around the country, correct? Like you're part of the Gear Up program. And so tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I work for another amazing company, Cool Speak. Shout out to Chu, Carlos, and Ernesto. They are both the founders of Cool Speak out of the Pennsylvania area, Reading, Pennsylvania. Doing some great work with Cool Speak. We get a chance to go and do summer camps with Gear Up, you know, from New York to Kansas to Philly to Oklahoma. And just, you know, great experiences. And I'm able to be able to say that, you know, I have babies all around the world, you know, and every time I turn around, I'm getting either a text from New York or a text from Kansas. Are you coming here? Are you coming there? You know, and that's when dope. Are we going to see you next? So, you know, to all my babies that might be listening, I'll be in Kansas in February. So be looking for me. I'll be there soon.
And so in Kansas, what are you working on in Kansas?
So in Kansas, a couple different things. One with the Gear Up piece, with Cool Speak, but also working, you know, part of the work that I do is really trying to help administration understand the importance of culture. So I like to go into schools for 1 or 2 days and just watch. Just pay attention to what's happening in culture.
And listen.
You know, listen. See what's happening. So going to spend some time in a couple high schools there and really just look at their culture, you know, and make sure that we don't have that prison and pipeline situation happening on a very large level. Mm-hmm. Hopefully relationships are being built. And if not, then I'll offer my ideas and guidance on how that can change. And then we'll also be doing some training around culturally relevant teaching, which should be interesting, you know, in Kansas. I don't know a lot of the teaching staff. I know a lot of the young people and a lot of the Gear Up staff. So it'll be good for me to be able to learn the teachers and see where their thinking is and what may be happening with that. And, you know, we all know the importance of culturally relevant teaching when it comes to
teaching. You dropped a stat earlier, right? What was that stat about Kansas?
Yeah, teaching? It's about 88%. Children of color, you know, and you're looking at a staff of about 100%, not about 100% white, you know, so that makes a difference.
So as you're touring these classrooms and you're looking, what is it that you're seeing? Because you've done this before, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've gone through the classrooms, you've seen the teachers teaching, and they think they're probably doing a great job.
Right.
What is it that you see that you're just like, I need to talk to you about this, we need to work on this? What are you seeing out there?
You know, the number one thing that I'm seeing that people don't understand is the importance of life data. You know, just that we have young people who are real people, you know, and for many of our educators, you know, whether it be teachers, whether it be administration, sometimes parents, school board, you know, we just see numbers, you know, GPAs, graduation rates. And what we're missing is the fact that, you know, we all know it. I mean, if young people don't like you, they're not going to learn from you. It doesn't matter, you know, how interesting you may think you find yourself. If the young people don't find you interesting, if they don't feel like you really care. I mean, you know, and sometimes for a long time, I tried to be very prolific in my conversation. And I learned that it's much more simpler than that. You know, it is really, if you don't care about the kids going to know it. You know,
and they smell it from a mile away.
From a mile away. You know, and life data matters. You know, when I talk to people about MLA and WLA and Brother to Brother and SOB, which is another organization that I'm part of, Student African American Brotherhood, Sister Circle, you know, is we help young people heal. Mm. You know, we help young people get to a place where they know it's okay to hug each other and for young men to say, I love you. And, you know, for young ladies to be able to share their story and be able to know that I see you, you know, and it's really what young people are looking for. They just want to know that you see them and that you understand their whole person. And, you know, what I'm seeing a lot is that, and let me say this to a fault, not a teacher's issue, right? So if we go deeper, it's really college preparation, right? Teacher preparation programs are putting young people in a place where they're saying we're preparing you to go into a classroom, but we're really not.
We have to be
honest about that. Like, we're really not preparing them to go in the classroom, you know? And at the end of the day, what ends up happening is their teachers teach the way that they were taught.
Right.
And you even wrote a book, something along those lines, did you not?
This guy, I'm scared.
I told you.
Yes, I did.
And then your prom date.
Your prom date, bro.
Yeah.
Not with the book.
Shit, good time.
It was right.
Well, you got
in your hotel room.
I think you at least got a couple. You might have more. But the one that I'm talking about is titled.
So You Say You Want to Teach.
That's right.
The 10 Things You Won't Learn in College.
Mm.
And just really trying to dismantle the way that we do teacher preparation. You know, the unfairness to teacher preparation and student teaching, you know, there's accountability around the teachers that say they want a student teacher. And then, of course, they leave that student teacher dry. Like, all right, peace. I'll see you. I'll be in the teacher's lounge if you need me for anything, which isn't preparing them the way that they need to be prepared. really getting people to understand the importance of relationships. We say it, you know, and you'll hear teachers say, like, I'm not here to be their friend. And I'm like, well, that's unfortunate.
Go find something else to do.
Right? Like, you're here to be in front of this young person 8 hours a day, more than they'll probably ever see their parents. And you just going to flat out tell them, like, I don't care if you like me. I don't care if I like you. I'm here to teach you math. It's horrible, you know, and it's just unfortunate.
Nobody wants to learn that way.
Yeah, and it's like that person must feel miserable when they walk home, right? When they get home, just imagine what that transfer is like. You know what I mean? Like, you're miserable with your life, so you make a student's life miserable. That must suck.
You know, I tell people when they say, I think one of the worst sayings that was ever created was, if I get one, I did my job. And I was like, really? Like, you want to work for 30 years
and get one?
You failed at your job if you only get one.
Thank you.
Damn.
And I know we can't, and the truth is you can't save them all.
Right.
But that was a lesson that, you know, a hard lesson I had to learn on early was that you come in gung-ho, and I think a lot of teachers come in gung-ho. You know, they come in super excited. They want to save everybody, and then you hit that burnout point or the heartbreak point where you realize you can't. And you got to do what you can with what you got. And, you know, keep grinding it out.
That's right.
Realize that you got to save as many as possible.
For sure.
Talk a little bit about the health project and your trips to the Dominican Republic, man, because that looked dope, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So, you know, there came a point where with our young people in the community, we were doing like 9,000 combined hours of community service. Wow. And it was like, how do we do something maximize different, that, right? You know, and Angela Davis is probably the person that really taught me to understand how much the global affects the local. And for a long time, I didn't understand that until I really started, you know, taking the teachings of Angela Davis. And let me say, teachings from a book, right? Not personal conversation. I've had the opportunity to meet her, but, you know, just her writings and you know, interviews you can find on YouTube, like, that's research, that's mentoring. You know, she put that stuff out there for a reason. So, you know, learning about that piece, it's really like, all right, how do we dive deeper? But I also had an amazing young lady, her name is Anna, who probably seen it before I seen it, and was like, man, Strother, what else can we do? And for me, one of the things that I've always pushed for my young people is that I'm not going to give you the answer. I want you to bring it to me. So I threw that to her. All right, bring me the answer. You know, I'm going to do whatever it is that you want to do. And as the Freedom Writers would say about Aaron, many of my kids would say about me, like, if Aaron says we're going to go to the moon, we're going to go to the moon. Right. So I'd tell them, hey, if y'all want to do it, we'll make it happen. So they researched and actually brought the Dominican Republic to me. And that came from the young people. We've built three schools out there. We've installed about 75 water filtration systems. We've probably planted in a sustainable gardening system about 7,000 different trees to be able to help with the communities out there. And now we have branched out with 70 Global. David has an amazing program, and we are now working with Peru and Belize.
Rodrigo, what have you done lately?
I've been visiting sites.
Obviously not doing enough. I mean, my man's resume makes everybody look shabby, including me. Like,
thank you, Marcus, for making us all feel like pieces of shit.
Because, by the way,
he goes,
yeah, bro, that was all before noon.
On Tuesday.
What the fuck you gotta do with your life?
I just firmly believe God didn't breathe into me just to be here to take up space.
Right. So, like, I mean, you started out as a teacher, obviously, but where was the point where you realized that there was just this much more to be done with our youth?
I was never a teacher.
Oh, you were not.
Yeah, I was in the terms of the title.
I understand.
Right? But I was always more than that. I just didn't know it yet.
Ooh.
Better write that down.
So,
you know, that's going on a meme. I love it.
That's that magic.
Easily found myself in the classroom doing the traditional work, knowing that this was not what I was supposed to be doing. This was not going to change the lives of these young people. You know, I could teach you about inferencing and, you know, double entendres you know, how you comprehend. I could go through all of that. That's great, but everybody gonna give you that. That's what all the other teachers do. Mm. I knew very early on that I was much more than that. So my wife, in her amazingness, also pushed the idea that, you know, I really needed to step out and do everything that I could for young people. And it slowly started from one principal, George Elrod, another great mentor of mine. I went to him with an idea and I said, you know, I don't want any chairs and desk in my classroom this year. This was probably my fourth year teaching, and I'll never forget his response to me. He said, I don't agree with you, but I know you, so I'm going to let you do it. And if you read my book, there's actually three students from that classroom who wrote a piece in the book talking about that experience. And the young people from that point, it just took off.
Really?
You know, and it was from that moment that I realized that everything that somebody taught me that was supposed to be what teaching was about was wrong.
Wow. Love it.
So how did, I mean, so that transition though, when you, so you, dynamic teacher, awesome teacher in the title, making that transition to becoming a principal, as a principal, how are you inspiring teachers to do the amazing work that you would?
Wow. A couple of different things. One, I had to transition into a place where I realized my teachers became my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So that took a little bit because I just thought, you know, as long as I keep the school afloat, like that's what administration is, right?
Right.
So really starting to feed into my teachers and realizing that that was my family and not my employees.
That's what's sad.
That relationship is huge.
Yeah, you know.
Adult relationships.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing that, so with the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, that was where we are now in working in health and healing strategies with Dr. Phyllis Hubbard for the adults that work with young people. And one of the things that I would constantly stress is that we're always doing programming for kids. Like,
correct.
How do we get kids right? How do we make sure everything is good with kids? Not realizing that we were putting trauma-filled adults in front of these young people.
Cortisol-filled, just, right? Yeah, they're just the cortisol factories, man, in front of kids.
How are we feeding them? Mm-hmm. You know, and it became real simple at first. I'd be checking lesson plans and I'd go to the dollar store and I'd buy stickers. And at the end of, you know, the week when I got done going through lesson plans, I'd put a sticker. And I did that consistently for weeks. And one week I ran out of stickers, literally. It had nothing to do with people did wrong. I just ran out of stickers. And I can't tell you how many of my teachers were showing up to my door. Did I do something wrong? What happened? And the light clicked. I was like, holy crap. It's just like kids. They want to know.
They want feedback.
They want to know that they're doing okay. They want to know,
and they want,
you know,
specific,
that you see them.
Specific corrective feedback.
Right. And, you know, from there, it just became, okay, well, how else, you know, can we build in that? So I'm going to invite y'all to come to my house. Let's have a barbecue. Like, at the end of the day, man, I spend more time with y'all than I spend with my family.
So if
we don't like each other,
we don't have problems.
This is gonna be real ugly.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Kids suffer.
Yeah.
Right.
No one wins.
So, it became that, you know, and when I left Kankakee, they threw a surprise party for me, broke me down, had me crying.
Damn.
You know, and just, sometimes you don't even know what you're doing for teachers. But I had one teacher, Angie Kanak, I'll never forget. She came into my office and she said, I don't know how to teach without you.
Damn.
And it blew my mind because she's an amazing teacher. But it wasn't about the fact that she didn't know how to teach. It was just about the relationship.
Yeah. I think it's an appropriate place to take a break real quick.
You want to pay some bills, Rodrigo?
Yeah, this podcast is unofficially sponsored by Canada State Burger. We just had some bomb-ass burgers. Thank you, courtesy of Caesar. And it's also unofficially sponsored by Four Roses Single Barrel Reserve. We'll be right back.
You going to plug in some music?
I am.
That's good. Marcus, I'm getting horny just listening to you.
Was that recorded?
Ooh wee. Episode 25, Educated Guest Podcast. It's your boy Zaref. We got Rodrigo, we got Terry, and we got our special guest, Marcus Strother, in the house. I want to let y'all know what's coming up. We got Oscar De La Torre. He is a school board member out of Santa Monica. He does a lot of wonderful things for the youth during the school day, after the school day. He is the founder of Pico Youth Family Center. He is a firm believer in the power of hip-hop. We also have Mike De La Rocha from Revolve Impact and the Neighbors Project. Please do a little front-loading and look up Mike De La Rocha on Instagram. He creates spaces for individuals to speak truth to power. He's just a wonderful person. I can't wait to interview him. I got to keep it local before we get back to the podcast. I got to keep it local and send a special shout out to my Otay Ranch Mustang football team. You've done wonderful things and earned yourself a bye in the first week of the playoffs. That's never happened for Otay Ranch. You all have something to be proud of, but you also got something to win in about a week, all right? So I'm going to be there on the sidelines with y'all, cheering you guys on. I love y'all. We're going to get back into this interview. We got some more questions to ask Marcus about the things he does after school. We got some hip hop to talk. Let's get back into this interview. Episode 25, Educated Guest Podcast. Get at us on them Twitters.
Word. That's the story. Okay. So that was interesting. Welcome back to the Educated Guest Podcast. Caesar does it.
Mr. _ AYYY, episode 25 with Marcus L. Strother.
Straight government.
This time I use the L. And Terry Gonzalez.
I'm not cool enough to have
straight out of New Mexico. Yeah, Terry, you don't have a middle name, bro?
Not yet. He's not a little slow.
On the Twitters.
Hey. So, Marcus.
Yes, sir.
You wrote a children's book.
I did.
So this is the last factoid on my list.
Are we done? Ooh, that's good.
Other than the fact that Kankakee was where they filmed Child's Play. It's the home of Chucky.
It is the home of Chucky.
What up? What up?
That's funny. It was actually taped where my mother worked for many years at Shapiro Developmental Center.
This is wild. I love how
Steve. That is the most random fact.
Caesar brought in.
That's what they called Chucky. Yeah, I'm kidding.
No, not Chucky. The original Child's Play, bro. 1988.
The original Child's Play.
Not the Bride of Chucky. None of that shit.
So something though, but a lot of people don't know. Like Kankakee is like Kankakee has its little perks, little known facts. Like Michael Clark Duncan went to Kankakee Community College.
Oh, word?
Yeah. So he was in Kankakee often, and right Kankakee. So there's some neighboring cities that are all a part of Kankakee County: Kankakee, Bourbonnais, and Bradley. And Bourbonnais is the summer home of the Chicago Bears, where Olivet Nazarene University is, where I am a
alumnus.
I have both of my master's degrees from there.
So your children's book. Talk to us a little bit about Mr. Majestic.
Yeah, so Mr. Majestic is, you know, just one of those teachers that had the magic, as Chris says. And the children's book is just about reading, you know, and just trying to get young people excited about reading. It's called I Don't Like Reading. Mm. You know, I actually had begun it as a series and unfortunately just kind of went a different way with the work. But that is where it began. Ended up finding a gentleman overseas who did the artwork, which was
an Italian guy.
Yeah.
Nico.
Yeah. Some amazing artwork. This dude should work for 45 because he is. His level of vetting is Obama-like. I'm a little nervous.
I would never work for 45. You've seen my Twitter. And that's where we're going to go next. Because, brother, you are woke. You are up at night angry, just like I am, at the state of affairs today, are you not?
No doubt.
And how does it affect our students? What do you see out there? What are your concerns?
It affects our students because it affects our adults. That's one piece, you know, in for our students, you know, I mean, it's affecting us in so many ways, from DACA, from just the stereotypes and the judgment that is being passed on people of color, from, you know, that person that he decided to put in charge of education, who just is
a jackass. Different.
All right.
Straight up.
We'll go with that.
Straight.
You know,
that's not getting edited. That will make the podcast.
Straight up jackass.
Yeah. So, I mean, and there's just so many large issues that come with what 45 is bringing. And it's just, it's unnecessary trauma to our communities. Just unnecessary.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know.
My man's just.
I don't have a problem yelling on Twitter.
Yeah, no, it's I've heard it being described as, you know, yelling into the pillow. And sometimes when you listen to people yell into the pillow, it's pretty entertaining. Yeah, and so your Twitter feed is pretty entertaining, man.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, some of the other piece though that I think is worth mentioning is, you know, not even just being woke in yourself, but being woke in a village. Mm-hmm. You know, so how are you supporting, you know, and letting others out there know that you're not by yourself.
Right.
You know, so like I said, Carmen Perez, who was just with us, but Linda Sarsour, Angela Rye, you know, D-Ray and the work that he's doing. I mean, Shannon Sharp and, you know,
he's emerging.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Right. Just the stuff that he's pushing out, you know, and just letting folks. And I mean, there's tons of other people out there pushing the work, but just letting folks know that you're not by yourself, you know, and just because we may not be on CNN don't mean that we don't understand what's happening. And as much as we can support, you know, those who are in the space of CNN or are in the space of women's marches or are in the space of being able to address people that we can't get to, we want them to know that you stand in front, but it's soldiers behind you.
Right. So speaking of CNN, you got to hang out with Angela Rye for a little bit.
A
little professional crush.
So let me clear that up, because I don't ever want to see Angela again and she like strike me down. We did not hang out.
Oh, okay, good.
It was not a hangout.
Word.
It was, we were in the same space. And I, man, you know, anybody that knows me knows it's no secret. I completely appreciate that sister and the work that she is doing.
She's dope.
And man, I was not going to pass up the opportunity
for
a photo op and to be a part of, you know, that work and to let her know I support her, you know. So I seen her and I was like, hey, we need to take a picture.
I think there was a tweet involved. Come to the back of the congregation. I want a picture.
So I found out she was there. Man, is
by there?
Is vetting. So let me speak to that. So yeah,
it's borderline creepy.
Creepy, right? So Common did an amazing concert called the Imagine Justice Concert, free concert.
It's part of the Schools Not Prison campaign.
Yeah, it's part of the Schools Not Prison campaign in Sacramento. Had over 30,000 people there, man. Had an amazing team. You know, Common, Andre Day was there, J. Cole was there. Mm. You know, it was a great, great group of folks. And I happened to be blessed to be able to work backstage and was doing some stuff backstage. And one of my staff said, hey, Angela Rye is here. Because everybody know.
Like, they can put you on notice.
Right? So I right away was like, just FYI.
Hold this real quick.
I'll be right back.
I'd love to be able to.
You ever seen Marcus run that fast?
Man. You know, but, you know, just appreciate, you know, I have a good buddy of mine who's doing amazing work in Seattle, Anthony Shoecraft. He actually runs for the city their men of color programs that they have going on and their initiative that they have going on, which will be published in a great report with Campaign for Black Male Achievement. And, you know, Anthony not only speaks to Angela, who he went to school with, but, you know, her father, Eddie Ryan, and the work that he does. So to be able to just learn that from him, and then, of course, hearing Angela on her podcast and all this, the great, you know, stuff that she says about her father and the work he's done for many years. Like, you just, you know, I appreciate folks in the work, and I appreciate good human beings.
Yeah.
And I appreciate good human beings who are trying to make other human beings good great, human yeah, beings. Yeah, you know yeah. what I'm saying? So if I can support them in any way, whether it be through, you know, a tweet, a shout out, or whatever that might look like, I'm going to do it. You know, and Angela came out in a way after 45
was announced president, you know, that many people of color weren't doing, you know, other than, you know, then you had Carmen and Linda and Tamika Mallory
and Auntie Maxine
and Auntie Maxine, you know, so like they all came out in a way that we weren't seeing for a long time. You know, one thing that I can say as a black man, excuse me, as I'm hitting the mic, as a black man watching our sisters rise the way that they have,
it's pretty dope.
It's dope, you know, and it is speaking to the volume of work that women have done for years, and they have
never given the recognition for.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, from Angela and the four women who, you know, with the Women's March, Auntie Maxine, and so on and so forth. It's just amazing to watch, and they got my support 100%.
That's dope, dude. That's dope. And the shout out to Mike De La Rocha and the Revolve Impact for the Schools Not Prison campaign. Mm-hmm, where there was the work that they did before the California endowment adopted it. So that was some pretty amazing stuff, man. Dude, you got like all kinds of different directions in which you want to go. So how do you want to take the rest of the conversation?
For me, there's a few different things. I mean, definitely in the work of after school, you know, and being able to be excited about that. But I will, you know, not hold my tongue in saying that my goal is to dismantle the education system because it's wrong. And whatever that is going to take over the next however many years, you know, God allows me to do this work.
Yeah.
Like, that's the goal
for
me.
What does it look like, though, in terms of, like, so what are you seeing? I mean, you're a father of three. You have kids in the educational system. Tell me a little bit more about, like, what is it that isn't working in education that you see?
Yeah. I will start with teacher preparation programs.
Right.
For
right.
sure.
Right.
Coming right. from the college piece, you know, I'm not here to call out what different programs may not be working and what that looks like, because, you know, there's good and bad and
take your pick.
All that's happening.
Yeah, take your pick. Yeah.
But we definitely need to do something in terms of the teacher preparation program. I think we definitely need to do something just in terms of, you know, there's a lot of different things that we continue to say consistently, like we should start younger with certain things, but we never start younger.
Right.
Or we need smaller class sizes, or smaller class sizes don't work. So I think there needs to be a real intentional dive into auditing what does really work in schools, because we have programs, we have schools, you know, like a High Tech High that are doing great work. You know, how do we model those things? Like, why do we consistently keep the same broken record on the case? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you, like, if your CD breaks, you're not going to keep trying to put in a CD player.
Nobody
uses a CD anymore. I'm dating myself right
now.
Unless
you're a little bit crusty.
Right.
A little bit.
Right. But we understand.
You understand. You know what I'm saying?
I get the metaphor.
So I just don't understand. Like, we continue to use the same stuff that's broken, that is not working. You know, we keep having the same, like, I don't want to keep having the same conversation.
Right. And it's, you know, it's funny. It's more than, I get the sense that it's more than just teachers not being culturally relevant. Like, it feels like they're just not ready to just
give me more.
Build a relationship with students and feel comfortable with the chaos. You know what I mean?
Right. They've been taught for years not to do that.
Right. And like when we went to go check out my wife's classroom today, like flexible seating, kids sitting under desks and sitting all over. Like, teachers need to be trained to be comfortable in those different spaces.
I think your wife is a beautiful example. A good portion of what she's doing in classroom was never taught to her. That's just who she is.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the other thing, is that we're pushing people into a classroom that we know don't need to be in a classroom.
Right.
Right. But you breathe and you can feel the space.
And we have a shortage of math teachers.
So we're going to allow that to happen.
We have a shortage of teachers, period.
Period. You know. Right. And I think the other piece is that we have to be honest around, like, the real development of teachers, you know, because as much as we try to speak of, we need more teachers of color in front of students of color, you know, and one of the things I try to get people to understand is your skin folk ain't always your kinfolk.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So just because you put a black man in front of black kids doesn't mean that those kids don't be right. You know, so it's about you know, the professional development that comes around that, the consistent professional development. And it's also, you know, who is the accountability master, right? Because if you got a whack principal who don't know how to teach himself or herself, going to try to tell the teacher what they need to do differently, like, fail.
That ain't gonna work out well.
It's not gonna work out well, right? But we're not investing in and I think Chris talked to this, like, we're not investing in, like, you get to a level of administration where it's like, okay, you're the AP or you're the principal, like, you should have it now. You don't. You know?
It's funny because the moment you were saying that, like, we have, I've seen, like, an aspiring administrator's academy, right? Excuse me. And so you see these teachers who are in teacher leader roles, and then they're being trained to become administrators, right? APs, whatnot. And so I see that, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. But there's nothing addressing shitty administrators currently. Like, we if you, and they're all over every district. You're going to have a bad AP, a bad principal. There is no, you know, public venue for them to just improve their craft. It's just something behind the doors. Oh, we're handling it, blah, blah, blah. This is a management issue, blah, 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 blah. We'll send this person to whatever department if they're not doing well, right? Instead of having to be fully transparent and having people be working and getting better. And, like, I don't understand why it's such a taboo subject to just improve your craft. I think Chris talked about that as well. You know, master your craft and be the MC of the classroom, you know? But continue. What else would you...
Well, and I think the other thing that Chris talked about that, you know, that I just wanted to touch on was the idea of, you know, students shouldn't have to be lucky enough to get Caesar. Right? Like, how unfair is that? That the only... You get to be something in life because you get Caesar as a teacher.
Or at my school, like, a friend of mine's kid brought the schedule to me. I shouldn't even fucking say this out loud on the podcast. And I looked at it and I'm like, damn, you are just the unluckiest kid this year for the schedule you got, like, 1 through 6.
Right.
You are off to a bad start.
And that, but that's not okay, though.
It's not.
Right? It's not. And why can't we be honest about that?
It's a tough conversation.
It's a tough conversation. But, it, you know, I'm going to really piss some people off with this one. But it's just real when you think about, you know, as hard as we are on police and how we hold true to police. And if I'm a policeman and I know you did something wrong, like, I'm not going to speak on that. Like, teachers are the same way. Like, in a lot of ways, like, even though I know you're a bad teacher, okay, I'm not going to say nothing.
Turn around. Just turn around. Turn around. Yeah.
Not my class. And it's not set up in a way to be able to have those kind of relationships and honest dialogue as colleagues, too. Right? So there needs to be that as well. Like, I acknowledge that there needs to be a space where teachers can have honest conversation. I can go into your classroom and be like, that lesson, I don't think the kids got anything out of that lesson.
Right.
Let's revamp that.
Yeah, so for real, like, how did you approach that, like, as a principal working with teachers who might have just sucked or just missed the mark or maybe at first seemed unapproachable? Have you had that experience where you had to, like, have the come to Jesus conversation with them and convert them? Or how did that all work out?
He said convert them.
Convert them from being shitty teachers to, like, straight up evangelists. You know what I'm saying?
So, I got tasked spiritually with a really tough situation where we had a union teacher who we were looking at moving out because just wasn't getting the job done. But, and I've had that multiple times. One of the things that I found was, first, I know the craft, right? So I'm not going to just tell you what I need you to do. Sit down and watch.
Let me model it for you.
Right?
Yeah, let's do that.
Give me the class. I got you.
I'm going to show you.
Right? I'm going to show you.
I'm going to learn you something.
I want you to see. And then I want you to tell me, like, what did you see me doing? Like, what did you notice? Right? And hopefully you're noticing very simple things, like the fact that every kid that was walking in that classroom got acknowledged by me. Right? Even if I was having a conversation with Caesar, like, man, yo, I feel you. I see where you at. Yeah, keep going, man. I'm going to talk to you later.
Yeah.
Right? You walking past me, but I see you, and I'm going to pound you. Everybody on the podcast can't see me doing that to Terry, but I'm talking to Caesar, but I see you.
Yeah.
I see you. Like, yeah. you're not getting past me, you know? So right. I'm going to model that for you. I'm going to let's talk, because I could spit stuff out to you. All this stuff I'm saying to you, you've heard 100 times because right, somebody right. else has said it. Like, yeah. We're not spitting anything new. So let me model that for you. The second piece that I would say for me that helped was, and probably should be the first piece, was that before I tried to critique or tell my teachers how to do something differently, they knew I cared about them as a person in the first place. Right?
We see a ton of principals missing that shit off the boat.
Way off.
Way off.
Like, I'm just going to tell you what to do and you better do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's just no connection built beforehand.
Like, if Rodrigo is coming into school, like, I need to know you're off.
Right.
Right? And I need to be able to come to you as you're walking down the hall, and you're like, yo, come here. You good?
You're right.
Everything all right? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't know. You don't know. It could be something right. happen, right?
Right. And I need to be okay with the teacher coming to me and saying, like, man.
Shit at home's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, me and my husband, or me and my wife, like, or my son, like, I feel like I'm about to do something that's going to get me in trouble, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I need to be okay as a principal saying, okay, it's me and you today. I'm going to come to your class. Like, if you need a break, you want me to take the class, like, let me make sure you're good. How can I support you? What does that need to look like?
Damn.
Because once I do that, once I establish that, then I can also come to you and say, like, yo, what was that lesson?
I've seen better lessons from you.
All right. Like, what do you think they got today? Let's talk about that.
All right.
How many principals have you seen
what?
Like that in your career, Caesar?
Well, I've only worked for two principals. I've worked for three. And two of the three have just been amazing, and they developed that personal relationship with me. And one of them just recently passed away, and I talked about that on the last podcast. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing individual. And the one before that, Frank Peterson, we're going to interview, just connections all over the place. Mm-hmm. Love that man. And then when he left and we got a new one, I could see the different style in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that very euphemistically. Different style of leadership, like no relationship whatsoever. This is what's going to change right now.
Mm.
Deuces, I'm out. And that's when I came over to the district where I met Rodrigo. All right, so Marcus, what's up with your top five, bro? We got to talk hip-hop for a minute.
All right, let's talk.
If we got somebody on the podcast that loves hip-hop, we got to ask. You been thinking about it?
I've been thinking about it, and I'm afraid that I don't know my top five is.
Dude, that's what's up.
That right there.
That's right. That's real. That's real.
That's how you know the podcast is yeah. recorded live
right?
in the Osa Manor
mm-hmm.
with Baby Augie getting all lit in the background.
Terry has to give his top five too, right?
Slayer.
Ronnie James Dio.
I'm always the odd
Dawkins.
In the crowd of music. I don't get me wrong. I appreciate all genres of music. I love hip hop. I love metal. I can't say I like
country. Did you go to the Wu-Tang concert with us in Palm
Springs? He fell
asleep. Remember? I mean, CAA.
I fell asleep.
In my defense.
My man.
Caesar fell asleep too.
He did fall asleep.
Caesar fell asleep too.
Yeah, it was a long day.
I wouldn't necessarily call that the Wu-Tang
concert.
It was Ghostface.
Yeah.
And in my defense, I went, although I did leave, I was tired. What did he come out for? What?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Exactly.
He even said on stage, I only got paid for 20 minutes. Yeah. I'm out. So your top five. Top five, my man.
Jay-Z for sure.
Mm.
In no particular order, or how do you want to do it?
No particular order.
Okay.
Jay-Z for sure. Tretch.
Tretch.
Yeah. Mm. Love Tretch. I love Drake. I'm going to be honest. I'm a huge Drake fan. Love his cadences across the crowd. I don't care what y'all say. Shut up. That's my thing. You said my.
Oh, yeah.
That's
you're my top five. No judgment.
No, there's judgment. You already passed it.
Mm-mm.
I felt it.
That's three.
Yeah, it's cool. That's three. I'm going to, and I can mix this up, so I'm going to throw Queen Latifah in there. Love Queen and Method Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me the jam, though.
Give me the jam for Queen Latifah.
Give me the jam for Queen Latifah.
For me? And Latifah.
Oh, hell. Nah.
That's for me? Why you keep asking me and then telling me my stuff can't be my stuff?
Oh, we're just talking hip-hop, though. Okay. I like What's Queen your jam? Latifah, too.
Love Queen.
Are you going to plug that in, Rodrigo? Because I'm going to give you the jam. Everybody knows You and I.T.Y. I'm going to go with Wrath of My Madness, all right? Ooh. So cue that up real quick.
I will cue this up.
Mm-hmm.
From the Queen.
Who's your top five?
You know what? It changes all the time.
I would agree with that for me, too.
But Nas is always my one. Okay, I'm going to throw...
Nah, baby. You always my number one.
You always my number one. We always take Ra, and we just put him up there and just say, okay, without Ra, what's your top five? And I always go with Nas. I got Cube in there because I'm a West Coast dude, and Cube is just... He's ill with his shit.
Feel that.
You know what I'm saying? So... every now and then I throw Redman in there, but he's kind of like a six man of the year kind of deal with Red.
Okay.
Muddy Waters is like one of my favorite albums of all time, so that's why I throw Red in there.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Who did I throw in there last time? Oh, Cool G Rap. But cool that's G really Rap. Carlos Gonzalez, episode 22. That's really his pick. But I love Cool G Rap.
Are you going to take that pick?
I'm going to take it.
That's all right.
So we're going to cue up that Wrath of My Madness by Queen Latifah, because I'm glad you brought that up, man. She's so dope and people really don't know.
Nah.
Why is it that they just don't know, bro?
Well, because her rap career like kind of ended a long time ago because she got into movies. Mm-hmm. She did Dead Presidents, and then after that, was it Dead Presidents? No. Set it off.
Yeah.
The robbery movie. Right. I'm tripping.
Yeah. Did she have a TV show too?
That's she what did. That's what Living I mean. Single. So she parlayed.
Yeah. Living single. No, but didn't she have a talk show?
She had a talk show for a moment. That was like a moment. And the other thing, though, if we're speaking misogynistically, whenever we ask about top five, people immediately go to top five, and it's always men, right?
That's
like
right.
It's real. Like, if you think about it, though.
It's
some dope female MCs that don't never get thrown in, especially in men's top five. You know, from your Queen, from your MC Lights.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't never throw them in. I mean, shoot, Lady of Rage. Like, come on. When
Lady
she was
Rage
doing her thing.
Lady
like,
of Rage is dope.
Right?
But she didn't have near the body of work that Queen Latifah.
We're not talking about body of work, though. I'm just talking about flow.
Well, I think Queen only had two albums. Lady of Rage had her own album, but she had a ton of hit. Not a ton. She had quite a few songs on other people's joints.
Queen had a lot of a couple albums here, bro.
Two.
He said two. That's what couple means.
No. Right here, it looks like.
Wait, listen to the hook. Listen to the hook.
Queen was the truth.
That's a nice
Queen
song.
Queen was the truth. Missy Elliott, folks don't throw. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Missy Elliott's on a whole. I think I would. I almost feel like you got to put. It's like a top five female MCs.
But why?
Yeah, you're right.
True indeed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why does it have to be that way? Why is it that there has to be five men that were better than five other women? Like, why can't it just be you just an MC, right? If you an MC, that's like asking who is your top five teachers. You're not gonna say five men teachers.
Yeah, but I don't think
you just want to argue for the sake of arguing.
No, that's not true.
All right,
Jerry, can you make sure you get him to another way?
Okay,
let's make a move and segue out of this wonderful podcast with Marcus Strutter, episode 25 on the Educated Guests. Yo, man, if you could sum up just your beliefs on education, your philosophy, just give me a sentence on what it is you believe.
That, or you can also talk about, like, if you had something to say to every new teacher coming out, I feel like you would be the best principal for every new teacher. I want to know.
Okay. So I'm going to answer both questions because I don't like how you just took over Caesar's question.
He's a piece of shit.
Right. So, if I had to sum up right now, I just want to encourage everybody to transform the system to protect lives and salvage dreams. Like, just...
That's dope.
Anything that you're doing, do it in a way that's going to change the system. And if you're not failing 1,000 times, then don't be a teacher. I need you to take risk.
I love it.
In every single way. So, if you're going to be in the space... If you're going to be a teacher in the classroom and as a former administrator leading teachers, you know, I would ask this question. What risks have you taken for the babies today?
Ooh. So I'm sure some of you listening may want to hear more from Marcus. Maybe you want him to come out to your district, to your school and hear him speak. where can they find you at? I mean, honestly, people can just find you on your Twitter, really, right? I mean, but so what's your handle, bro?
My handle is Marcus L. Strother. Real easy. Government name. It's been said multiple times on this podcast.
That is just Twitter.
My Caesar. You can find me on Instagram at the same place, but I'm going to push it out there even harder because I believe in being able to share what I do. 815-793-5537. Give me a holler. Let's talk. 815-793-5537.
I'm going to drunk dial him one night.
I'm going to say, hey, man. I heard you on the Educated Guest podcast. You're amazing.
Marcus, come talk to me.
You need to come to my school district. I hate my administrators. They suck. They suck. Can I come work for you?
I appreciate y'all having me on here, though. Like, real talk, you all have been an immediate family for me in California. It's a blessing to be able to meet folks like you all. You all can't hear her, but we have an amazing woman who is doing amazing work in the classroom as well.
Give her your mic. You're not using it, Jerry.
Thank you.
Right. That's not her. That's not
Terry.
Her.
That's Terry. But
thank you, Marcus.
You're welcome. So it's just amazing to be a part of what you guys are doing because you make me a better leader, you make me a better person, and you make me a better human, and I appreciate that.
Word him up. That's a great way to end. I'm so glad you came out with us. So glad that I met you. It's one of the very few things that I thank Rodrigo for. Mostly Diego.
But me.
Both of you dudes. I met you both at the same place at Boost. And that shit was awesome.
And with that,
cheers.
Salud.
Salud.
Salud. Salud.
Been wasting most of that time glorifying days long gone behind. Been wasting most of that days in remembrance of ignorance, so disgrace. Tell me who.